We had last night we studied something that I hadn't thought about for a long time. So I want to review a little bit of it here and then something else that goes along with it. The two most important artifacts or emblems or symbols in all of Judaism are the temple and the Ark of the Covenant. The only way that the temple has any meaning is if the Ark of the Covenant is within it. The Ark of the Covenant, if you remember, has the pot of manna, Aaron's rod, and the two tables of the law inside the Ark, covered over by the mercy seat. And everything in the Ark, the law, the Aaron's rod, and the manna are symbols of the rebellion. Aaron's rod budded because of the rebellion. The manna was given because of rebellion. And the Ten Commandments were given because of rebellion. And so this is why it was so important from the standpoint of what Christ did vis-a-vis the Jewish religion. When he was crucified, the veil of the temple, which was 18 inches thick, heavy woven materials, that was incredibly, I won't go into all that, but it ripped from the top to the bottom, which was impossible unless it was a supernatural act, because an earthquake or anything would have ripped it from the bottom up. And what that did is it showed the sham of the Jewish religion as a means of atonement, because it revealed that there was no ark, therefore no Shekinah glory, no the glory of God wasn't there, and all the mercy seat wasn't there. And so that's a huge deal that we just glide over, and when Christians read about that, the veil being rent, because they don't know what it means, probably. And so this idea that the two most important artifices in the Jewish religion are the Ark of the Covenant and the temple itself are what we're going to take a brief look at this morning. So first go to Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah 3, starting in verse 14. Or 13. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree as we go up to Oklahoma. And you have not obeyed my... Huh?
Yeah. What? I knew that was coming, boy. It was predictable.
Well, I'm predictable.
We knew it was coming.
Harry got shamed last night, so he was just waiting for stuff to get me on.
It would have bothered a lesser man.
What?
It would have bothered a lesser man.
That must mean you think you're the greater man. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that it would have bothered the lesser man. All right, I'll quit. I'll quit. How, what?
I've been hanging out with Ronnie.
That thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married to you. And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I'll give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall he remember it, neither shall he visit it, neither shall that be done any more. This was 620 B.C. when he said this. The Ark of the Covenant shall not come to mind, it shall not come to pass, it shall not visit it. That's a big deal. Now go to a couple pages to the to the right. Jeremiah 7. Verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Excuse me. Thus saith the Lord host, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust you not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. That's a big deal. What does he mean? The temple, he repeats it three times. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. He just got said, you shall no more say the Ark of the Covenant, no more shall it be brought to mind. So what's going on here?
He's saying this building you're looking at right here, this is not the temple of the Lord, which is unbelievable.
And no, nor are the sacrifices of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant simply was the revelator of the Messiah. The temple was the revelator of the physical body of the Messiah. And so it's come to pass.
Did they kill him when he said this?
Well, later. Remember, this was...
later, but I mean, they didn't kill him. It had to be like earth-shaking. The most important guy in town says, this is not the temple of God.
Right.
And they're really talking about also the fact that they would depend on those for protection. You know, take the ark out in front of the army and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to defeat the enemies. And he's saying, this is not what's going on at all.
No. It just reveals everything, I mean, we've talked about. The idea that... I just want you to see... that the idea of rebuilding the temple, or the idea that Israel is something special, or the idea that you know, all these little dealies are, you know, just, it's goofy. Because even 620 years before Christ, he said they would be nothing.
Everything, bear with me for a moment, but everything in Jerusalem revolved around the fact that that was the temple of God. So real estate prices, restaurants, every business location, people's jobs, everything depended on that being the temple of God.
Right.
So when he said that, that was a threat. I mean, if you think of it as us, that's a threat to everything. It's like the lights are going off, there's not going to be any running water, and we're all out of work.
And then he goes on. Let's look here a minute. For if you thoroughly amend your ways, verse 5, and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, saith the Lord. And what the reason this is important is because this is what, if you go to John chapter 1, I think, and it's got a whole, let's go there. John, Big John. John chapter 1, verse 19. Now remember, John's father. Well, anyway, we won't go there. I don't want to go there. In verse 19, and this is the record of John, whom the Jews, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Now, what I believe, and a lot of people believe, that verses 19 through 34 is the actual record that came that from the ones that were sent out, from the priests and Levites that were sent out to investigate John. And so, do you understand? This is what they wrote back to the temple, to the high priest and the Sanhedrin in their discussions about John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist was the first one in 400 years that was filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no celebrity that we have in our culture that could equate to who John was. And then this is the record. And now we won't do it now, but in Luke's description of this, he gives the words of the words that John the Baptist said. And if you look at them, the words that he said were what we just read in Jeremiah. In other words, John was confirming all of the stuff that Jeremiah said about the temple of the Lord are these, and you shall no more say, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, neither shall it come to mind. And he had all that in mind when he said, now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Believe it or not, the Jewish people at this time were the hope of mankind. And when the trees is always uniformly the symbol of the human race. And when they cut he said, now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, plural. If it was going to be just talking about Israel, it would have said the tree. But it's the axe is laid to the root of the trees. And all this was in mind. Everything we just talked about was in mind when John said this. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You sons of the snake. Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And I just think this is important.
If I like my life, I'm invested in the status quo, I've got to kill him.
Well, I mean,
he's got to be shut up.
Anybody think this is important besides me? Anybody have any response to it, John?
I don't want to go off topic, but I have just a question about the ark. Noah's ark is a big thing, big boat, and this ark is a smaller thing, but it's called ark because it's a container.
Yeah, the ark of the Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's the Ark. It's the little one, not the Noah's Ark and Mount Ararat, supposedly. All right, well, let's go back to Romans. And I just wanted to rant about this for a while. Romans 6.
We turn
to chapter. That's why I took those little side trips, because it was an opportune time to do it between Romans 5 and 6. And just brief review in verse 20 of chapter 5. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. So what shall we say then? This is the Romans 5 is, many people call it the much more chapter, because he talks about much more a jillion times in it. But anyway, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This is what Paul was accused of. You know, it's the difference. They don't know the difference between freedom and license. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? If you don't know that, then all you did was got wet. Baptism, well, in the next verse. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Let's just stop there. That's everything. Everything else is God's business. Except you resurrect that evil one from his deadly head wound all the time. Then you wonder why he have no joy, no peace.
Yeah.
You know, visitation. You don't often get
that, you know, illustration.
Yeah, we talked about this. We've sanitized death in our culture so that we don't have the opportunity to see the death, the body rotting. We even have a whole group of professionals who make the body look like it was alive. So you don't have to see the corruption of death. That's why bananas make field trips.
Yeah, I was thinking the Jews had a deal where they would go back into the tomb a year later or something, take the bones.
Amen.
And arrange them in a box and make room. So that you actually got to see the, you know, here's what happens. You know, this is what's left of this person that I, you know, a year ago was alive.
Now instead of a scapegoat, you hold a chicken over your head. Now instead of having atonement, you just, if you celebrate the day somehow, that means something. So there's no difference between modern Christianity and Judaism. It's the same thing. They're both waiting for something to happen. I don't feel like talking anymore.
That would have to be, I've never heard that before. That would have to be the single most visceral, unbelievable physical outworking of belief. I can't imagine anything more powerful than going in and picking up the bones of your mother or father or husband or what, or child.
Yeah, and then you're unclean. You go through the whole deal again.
Now you go to a cemetery and look at flowers on the ground and a headstone. And walk in and pick up those bones.
Yeah. You've seen maybe lately this, the idea that about the Jesus ossuary. How do you pronounce it? Ossuary. This is the box. The ossuary was a box. That at a point later, after the body had gone fully corrupted, they would take the bones and John's right. They had to align the bones in a certain way inside the ossuary, and then that was what was put away. And it's not only did they see death without all of the embalming fluids and everything to make it look they had to go through this process of seeing it to the fullness of the extent. And then they had to, even Jesus, every time Jesus, if you, whether he raised somebody from the dead or whether he cleansed a leper, he was Levitically unclean, and he had to go through this particular ceremony with a priest. But the point of it, every time when they had to go do this thing, when the body died in the house, then the house became, they had to go through this whole ceremony to cleanse the house. Then when they were near the dead body, they had to go through it. Then when they took the bones, and they were unclean again. In fact, the reason this is so important is the thing that cleansed the being touching death was the ashes of the red heifer. And that's a whole other, the ashes of the red heifer, it's a female red heifer that had to be perfect. And it symbolized us. It's the body. Each individual body is that red heifer. And it had the ashes of that red heifer, they had to be burned in a very elaborate ceremony. And there were only seven of them, a few say nine, but there were only seven red heifers in all of history. And they had to be burned and cared for in such a way. And then the ashes had to be kept in a vessel made of dung. And then yet, those ashes of the red heifer were what was so important in the cleansing process to cleanse you from death. And you know, there's about 20 tapes on that down there. But it's and again, in the container, you couldn't have a red heifer and then you used it up and then you went and got another red heifer. You had to have the red heifer and the ashes in that container made of dung, and then when that container was running out, then you had to have you had to have that container that was held the previous ashes to help to hold the new, the same container. So it was really only one red heifer that was the cleansing mechanism. And that's why it says in John that, well, let's go there. I'm going to show you that real quick. John chapter, 1 John, I mean. No, I thought it was. Shut up. 1 John. Well, I was through when I said it.
Chapter?
I don't know yet. Five, I think. Yeah. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So you can't try to love anybody. If you either will or you won't. It depends on this. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but that he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. And so the Spirit, the water, which is the water, the cleansing, and the blood. Now, it's like you've heard me talk many years ago about this. This is like a three-pronged cord. You have to have all three to plug into the wall, but this time you're plugging into eternity. And when those three, when you when you what's in earth and what's in heaven agree in one, then everything is you've completed the course. So by water, by blood, and by spirit. Amen. All right, that's now I am through. We had a good time last night.
Yep.
Yeah. We even had people from your group came. Take it, big guy.